present. Besides the regular attendants, Mrs. Sally Lane, of Kansas City, Mo. The record of previous seance was read and approved by the circle, and when the seance began, the spirit, Dr. Reed, as president of this band of spirits, said, "Mr. Secretary, the minutes of last seance, as read, are approved by us, and I see no reason why they are not sufficiently full." As usual, when there is a new element in the circle, the seance was made to largely consist of form presentations, for the double purpose of producing some striking test and that the visitor may have the pleasure of undoubted recognition of some friends, and in such manner as to strengthen the authenticity of the phenomena described by the record. Upon G. Weaver Amethyst 1051. There came from the cabinet, through the parting of the curtains at center of cabinet front, a very tall woman form, clothed upon in garments exceedingly white, and stepped toward the center of the circle to a point near 3 feet from the cabinet, extending her arms straight out right and left from the shoulders, then, looking upwardly at the ceiling, gradually raised the hands to almost touch the ceiling, making motions with the hands as though gathering something from the ceiling, and presently there began to appear in the spirit's hands up near the ceiling a bundle of substance, white, gauzy, appearing much like a spider web. But as the hands moved about over the ceiling, the bunch of gauze rapidly increased in size, and presently, the spirit let her hands down from near the ceiling overhead, and unwound the bunch of gauze and spread it out to the length of some 4 or 5 yards and some 4 feet wide, holding the gauze so spread out, in her hands, in front of herself. She looked as though standing behind a spread out lace curtain, and the circle remarked, and only a thin veil between. Then the spirit began gathering up the spread of gauze into a bunch and raised the bunch to the ceiling, and the gauze began to appear to be being absorbed into the ceiling of the room, and in a little while the gauze was all gone from the spirit's hands and she showed her empty hands to the circle as she disappeared through the parting of the cabinet curtains, into the cabinet and behind the cabinet curtains. Charity 1052. A member of the band of spirits designated by the spirits as the Brave Heart Band next came to the condition of visibility, before the circle, having the Brave Heart emblem upon the forehead and girdled by a waistband filled with points of light, the general raiment of the spirit being of what appeared to be pure white cloth, made of this form a very imposing spectacle. 1053. And this led the way for the appearance of the friends of our visitor, Mrs. Lane. And Brave Heart being gone away, there came forth another lady spirit form, rather tall, and clad in pure white, wearing an abundance of long auburn hair, and directed her attention to the visitor, Mrs. Lane, who at once recognized this spirit as her sister Mary. Then the spirit went out near the secretary and said, 1054. My name is Mary. The lady that sits over there, to whom I was just now trying to say a few words, is my sister. I have been patiently waiting for this opportunity when again I could speak with her face to face, and at last we have succeeded in having her come here by impressing her mind with a desire to come, and I am so glad that we do meet this evening. And I would thank you to tell her that we, on this side, realize that her evening shades begin to lengthen, and that at no distant day we shall be reunited as inhabitants of the spirit world. More of us are here. And our dear mother is here, too, and more of the old family relics will be permitted to appear this evening, perhaps. Please to ask my sister if she remembers Clara. The sister replies, "Yes, certainly, I remember Clara. She was a colored servant in our family in the days of slavery. Clara was black, and another servant girl, Ellen, was copper-colored. Spirit, well, they are here, and it may be, can be permitted to show themselves to my sister this evening, and still others may be permitted an interview, and I shall go now and tell them to come. Good night." And the spirit Mary went into the cabinet, and in a moment a spirit clad in white, but having black face and hands, came to visibility before the circle and gave the name Clara, and was recognized by Mrs. Lane as the servant girl of long ago, and as she was going away a very tall lady form came forth and gave the name Ellen, and spoke a few words, as did Clara, and both betrayed the speech of the African servant, and Mrs. Lane fully recognized this latter spirit as the old family servant known as Ellen. 1055. And when Ellen had gone, there stood a man form at S.E. corner of cabinet, trying to talk, but failed for the instant, went back into the cabinet and appeared at center curtain parting, trying to talk, but failed again and withdrew, and tried to speak inside the cabinet, and some of the circle asked the spirit if he passed out by accident on railroad, and he answered clearly, yes, and immediately came out of cabinet and directed himself to Mrs. Lane and showed her his head with his hand so drawn over it as to indicate the fatal wound, and she exclaimed, that is brother Johnny. He was killed on the railroad and his head split open just as he shows me now. There can be no mistake about this case as being an indisputable test, and the spirit dematerialized downwardly and thus passed to condition of invisibility, and his sister was completely satisfied of her invulnerable tests of spirit identity. Denton 1056. I want it understood that, while books have been produced through other phases, this is the only instance through this phase of mediumship. 1057. John Pierpoint said, when your friends reach this side of life there are so many poor spirits among them that it furnishes employment for all philanthropic souls so that none need be idle. And oh, friends, if I had known more of this glorious philosophy, I should have been able to pass on more rapidly. But, after all, each one must work his own way. The most that can be done for one is to be informed and shown that there is a way. But each must travel that way for himself. It would be hard for another to give me knowledge. Each must search out knowledge for himself. You may be told of knowledge, but until you find it yourself it is not your knowledge, nor is it knowledge at all to you until you seek and search it out for yourself. 1058. Why, friends, you may think there is no other life, and will know no better until you seek to know for yourself, and continue seeking until you find. And when you shall have found, do not think you will go straight on to highest condition, for you will find your pathway very serpentine, rugged, and even mountainous. I am not speaking alone to you faithful friends here, but, through you, to and for the people of your whole world, that, whosoever will hear, may hear, for our utterance is here that, through you, the world may learn of them, and thereby, become more scientific, more philosophical in their search for knowledge, truth and wisdom, that all may be more mutually developed, so that wrangling and petty jealousies may decrease, and this seed, now being sown, shall bring forth, finally, a bountiful harvest of good things for all who shall reach forth and gather and fill their garners. Then there shall be more joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Judge J. M. Edmunds, a typewriting which proved to have been dictated by the spirit. 1059. Recently, a spirit lady, whom the circle recognize as a daughter of friend J. A. Wood and wife, and who gives her name as Jenny, became a member of this band in the capacity of typewriting dictations, but as yet is not so able to handle the machine as the gentleman spirit who has been doing most of the typewriting at this series of seances. So, when the time came for writing, at this seance, the spirit, Dr. Reed, and two or three others, were heard, by the circle, to be talking about whether or not Jenny would be able to take and write the dictation the guides had concluded to have given at this time, and finally, Dr. Reed concluded to permit Jenny to try the dictation, and she immediately appeared at the typewriter, in the arena, and wrote on quite successfully up to the beginning of the last 150 words. When she retired and the writing was finished by the man spirit who has been doing this work, mostly, for us, and the whole writing is as follows. 1060. The world at large, takes no note of the wonderful spiritual forces that underlie all things that are now common to mankind. And yet, without the recognition of these forces, there is no such thing as a harmonious existence for you, either personally or aggregated in the organization of government. Science alone can never encompass it, for it knows nothing of the spiritual laws that determine man's place in the universe, just as the complex laws of nature fix the orbits of the planets in the material realm. The words of many scientists on the future of mankind are reassuring and cheering. But, unfortunately, They are the words of scientists who see, in the pursuit of their chosen vocation, the disappearance of all obstacles and the arrival of perfection. The objection to this is that it deals with only a part of a great subject, and anything only partial in treatment is necessarily imperfect. The way for people to reach a sublime eminence is not through science, but through a spiritualized government, whose main object shall be the spiritualization and unfoldment of its people. We realize that it is a difficult matter to approach spiritual perfection in the midst of worldly activities. 1061. And yet, completeness of workmanship is constantly before your eyes. Every breath and tint of nature is perfect. True, nature's perfections are attributable to her laws, and her laws to an infinite conception. The power exhibited by nature, as elsewhere, is not in the manifestation, but in the source and regulation of it. 1062. In solving the problems of life and civilization, men look to their governments and their laws for them. And to these, science is subject, just as nature, with which science deals, is subject to the laws that control it. If you are in search of the greatest good for mankind, you will find it in the spiritual, and not in the scientific realms. The people who have the best government are those whose government secures to them the greatest freedom in thought and action. But, heretofore, altogether wrong notions have been prevalent concerning this matter. The purity of government depends upon the purity and spirituality of its members, and will only reach the highest perfection when the love for right shall predominate over the love for gain. This is, of course, a wonderful distinction, at this age of the world, but we cannot specify any other means by which the ideal government can be attained. Every age has its idealism, but they have been rather shadowy and indefinite. Men should look things squarely in the face, and endeavor to realize that spirituality is the only salvation. It is useless to fix the time of the millennium and to designate science as chief of the forces in operation to introduce it, for as far as you can learn from history and observation, it is not within the province of science to do this. All men must have some basis of belief, for there is no knowledge without sight and experience. You will never reach equality in government, or as individuals, unless tending that way, and you are certainly not. The ambition of all governments is to be the ideal one to be looked up to. This may not be the ideal scientific government, but science must give way or submit, and when the people of Earth realize that spirituality is, by odds, the most potent factor in civilization and good government because it is a controlling force, they will then arrive at a point where but one road leads to the desired goal. And nowhere, except in government, can you fix the spirituality of a people. It is not its religion, its literature, its arts, or its scientific achievements, but in the regulation of all its members and avocations as related to one another. Of course, science is a great and invaluable contributor, but it is only a contributor, and in the nature of things, never can reach the eminence of embodying the highest spiritual ideals. 1063. The office of science is to discover and produce, as all geniuses in that department admit, but its discovery and production are stimulated or repressed by industrial legislation. The whole people of a country comes within the range 0f the latter's influence, and the entire commercial world is affected by it. It is here, then, that you must look for spirituality in the popular and universal sense, and in the true sense. This is not mere assertion, facts in proof of it are abundant. 1064. Much has been said in late years about the rapid strides that science has made, but let it not be forgotten that these onward and upward strides are due, quite as much to the form and potency of the government under which they are made, as to the men that make them. Galileo was a wise man, but the government under which he lived did not permit him to give to the world the results of his experiments and discoveries, and so it was with hundreds. In the ages past, they were hampered by undeveloped governments. 1065. The paramount problem of the age, with all ambitious nations, is to produce a sufficiency for themselves, and make others dependent on them, by the provision of a surplus. Science has no power to change this condition. It exists because people of different races are antagonistic and competitive. 1066. The spiritual unfoldment of the people can alone satisfactorily settle this question. It is incumbent upon you, as a sensible people, to accord the subject of a spiritual unfoldment an impartial hearing. 1067. We have endeavored to point out to you that the panacea for all the woes of the people can be found in the proper government, and not in science or any other phase of accomplishment that is, in any degree, subject to the ruling powers of politics. We have opened up a boundless field for all who care to put our suggestions into practice, and prove by experiment their worth or worthiness. We appeal alike to the man of books and the man of handicraft. All are alike in this, that each is anxious to have his ideas and efforts appreciated. 1068. We do not mean that you shall be governed and controlled by spirits in the higher conditions. On the contrary, we mean for each one to unfold his spiritual nature, that he may be able to discern for himself the right course to pursue. Do not expect to revolutionize conditions in the twinkling of an eye. The world is too busy to appreciate the genius of those who live today. The glamour of bygone ages attracts the world to geniuses of the past, and leaves them no time to become familiar with the geniuses of their own time. This has ever been true of men of all ages. Signed, Edmunds Seance No. 70 February 8, 1903-1069. Mrs. Dye, Mr. Winkler and Mrs. McAfee again present. This seance was, to a large degree, utilized as a form seance, and some very excellent and brilliant forms were presented. After Reed and Denton had opened the seance in due form on the spirit side, there came to visibility a rather portly form, which was quickly recognized as 1070. Dr. Bucker, late deceased, of Kansas City, Mo., and spoke a few words, saying, "This is a grand opportunity, that I can talk back to your world after having left the old tenement. Well, friends, I have had my experience in the earth life, and in passing out of that into the conditions of this side, and you must each do likewise, and I may say that it will not be a great while until all of you will have experienced the transition, and become inhabitants of this side with the great majority, and you can ask your spirit friends to help you to cross with the least possible annoyance to you. You will please excuse me for not recognizing all of you, whom I had known on earth, and accept a general recognition now. Sometimes we miss our friends, and in our overjoyfulness we are carried past them for the moment as the controlling conditions carry us on when we have not the slightest idea of passing by, unrecognized, our friends." Several other remarks this spirit made, to various persons of the circle, of a personal nature, revealing his identity to those who had formerly known him, and it may be remarked, his vocal organs seemed to be so well reinstated that his voice was almost identical with his conversational speech while in earth life, and he also talked with energy and animation. 1071. A lady spirit form appeared, and was so realistic as to be completely recognized by one of the visitors, but the striking feature of this case was, that this spirit dematerialized downwardly. And no pen picture can fully portray the grandeur and significance of such a scene, nor can it be realized by anyone not an eyewitness. To see a form, having all the appearance of a lady gorgeously clothed upon with garments white and glistening, bordered and trimmed with white lace, all in the richest modern style of ladies' dress, to hear that form distinctly utter words in plain whisper, to see the form move about over the carpet, to know that form to have all the personal marks of identity, so as to be easily recognized as one known to have lived on earth, and to know that such personality long since passed through the ordeal of death, to know the floor of the room to be solid, and the carpet also solid, and knowing that there can be no confederate in the room, then, under all these conditions, to eyewitness this ideal lady slowly descend as going down through the floor on an elevator platform disappearing colon now the waistband down to carpet, then on down to the chin, mouth, nose, eyes, forehead, and then, all gone but upper portion of the head, and last of all, the top of the head to vanish, is, indeed, a wonderful phenomenon, and as this case terminates, little Nelly standing in parting of the curtains, then swinging clear, holding curtains with the hands, swings out some 2 feet, jabbering to all round the circle, and then goes down, saying dude bye, all the way down, till mouth reaches the floor level, then another goodbye as the whole head vanishes, is simply marvelous to behold. 1072. Judge J. M. Edmonds comes to visibility, and in good oral speech, speaks substantially as follows. Friends, will they ever know? Will your world ever know that there is life, individualized, conscious continuance of life in another and higher condition than that of Earth? Can they much longer deny demonstrated facts? So many, in their ignorance, ought to be pitied. Never mind, however. They all must know of the beautiful hereafter. If not before, when their earthly course is run, many of them then will know. But strange, so many are not inclined to want to know anything, even of your world, much less of any condition beyond that. Of course, it follows that there are many in the spirit world not further advanced than some people on earth, yet many are seeking for better conditions, and it affords me great pleasure to be here and in an attitude to help those needy ones that are seeking for more light. Life, to all things innate. 1073. Denton asks, did any of you ever think about the probability that life is inherent? That it is innate to all things, and always so existed? Circle, yes, some of us at least, have had that query under advisement, and perhaps some of us have reached an affirmative conclusion. Another of the circle, what is meant by inherent? Another explains, the phrase inherent life means that, life exists in all things everywhere, organic and inorganic as well. 1074. Denton, yes, Mr. Faraday has just scanned that field, showing that fact is a logical sequence, and in the next 20 years, science will have learned that fact. They have not learned it yet. They think they have, but they have not. Only through the denizens of the spirit world will they learn it. Life, we have said, always existed, R.V. 1710, is in everything. We are here to tell you, but it will be demonstrated in natural developments. Circle, is ether substance? 1075. Spirit, without substance what have you? We have said there would be a time when death would be arrested and life returned by electromagnetism, and already you have it. Those people who live nearest to nature will best be able to have benefits of the process. Circle, is it possible to so live that we need not die? Spirit, the only way to live on is to be born again. As an individual goes on, he loses electromagnetism, which weakens and weakens, and finally the body must dissolve away. 1076. Beatrice, the guide of one of the visitors, appeared in exceedingly brilliant form, and vanished. Seance number 71, February 11, 1903. 1077. Visitors present, Annie R. Rasbach, Parsons, Kansas, Mrs. McAfee, Kansas City, Mo, and Mr. Winkler, Buffalo, N.Y. The regular opening exercises being concluded, there came a form from the cabinet, at the S.E. corner, and after standing a moment, began talking, but in very indistinct utterance, and somewhat stammering, but as the circle talked with him, his speech improved rapidly, and the conversation ran somewhat thus. 1078. Circle, who are you? Spirit, I don't know. Circle, what is your name? Spirit, I don't know. Circle, how did you get in here? Spirit, I don't know. Circle, isn't your name Coffin? Spirit, no. I am just out of the coffin. No coffin about me. Say, isn't it dark here? What makes it so dark? They told me if I would come in here I would find light. How is it so dark? Circle, where did you come from? Spirit, I don't know. They had me in a house. Circle, how did you come by your death? Spirit, death. I am not dead. T.I. here, same as you? Circle, no, not same as we. We are not dead, but you are out of your body. Spirit, T.I. got a body same as you? Oh, look at my clothes. They are all ragged and torn and dirty. I can see better. How is this? I had dark hair and whiskers, Now I am all gray. Looks like they had me shut up in a dungeon. Last I remember, I had better and cleaner clothes and dark hair and whiskers. I must have been asleep in a dungeon, and when I awoke I am here, old and dirty and ragged and gray. This is strange. Let me see if I can find out my name. Goes into cabinet a moment and returns, saying, they tell me my name was Harlem. I begin to see better. Circle. Yes, you will soon see clearly. Those people in the cabinet, Drive Reed and others, will help you along, and after a while, have you in nice, comfortable position, so that you will be yourself again, and be well and with your friends, whom you have not seen for so long a time, and your memory will return, and all again be well with you, and so, always remain. Have confidence in those good people in there. They are spirits, and so are you a spirit now. They will carry you through. Spirit, well, it seems I am being favored at last, but I must go back, they say, for a little time, and they will show me more. I hate to leave such good people as you, but I must go. Goodbye. And as the spirit retired, the spirit Professor Denton came out of the cabinet, saying, 1079. We permitted that fellow to come that you might witness one just awakening out of dark conditions. We persuaded the poor soul to come here for his own good, and then helped him to appear to you, so that you could see him and help us to get him started out of darkness, by your sympathy. 1080. This poor soul became insane at the age of 45 years. Before this, he was bright and intellectual, as you can discern from his talk. He was a ruler at one time, and somehow lost his mind. As he awakes, and memory returns, he is not satisfied. 1081. Before he became insane, he lost his child, and as his mind began to fail, she came to him and tried to aid him, but could not get him to realize her presence. And now, as consciousness returns, he remembers this dear daughter, and he is hunting for her. She cannot reach him yet, nor can he find her. We tell him that she is safe, in a nice condition, and cannot reach him now, that when he becomes better acquainted with his new conditions, and able to go, we will take him to her, and let him look upon his dear daughter again, and at this, it is joyful to see his hope reviving, and paternal love rekindle, and the one countenance begin to sparkle, as though youth were returning. We are thus assisting him in spirit. But it is much easier for us to render assistance on this side, than for us to reach the needy ones on your side. We reach you through more difficult channels, but here, we meet them direct, and receive them, and encourage them, and finally, have them rejoicing in a beautiful condition, and at last unspeakably happy. And our reward is in their rejoicing and gratitude, and our consciousness of having done our duty to their delight. And so you receive a rich reward according to all your efforts to benefit the needy. 1082. The visitor, Mrs. Annie R. Rasbach, of Parsons, Kansas, whose husband recently crossed to spirit life, had the pleasure of meeting him again, face to face, and of fully recognizing him, and after having fully established his identity to her, he walked across to the secretary and seized hold of the large end of the trumpet and held it firmly in his hands with small end of trumpet next to secretary's left ear, but he held the trumpet a distance away from the ear and thus the spirit uttered words near to large end of trumpet, and the secretary pulling at the trumpet to get it nearer the ear, and the spirit firmly holding it away, caused the secretary to be out of reach of his notepaper, at times, so that his notes were not full, although the spirit did speak sufficiently full voice to be heard without use of trumpet, but the following are such of the words as the secretary did note, to wit, I was invited to come over here and talk to you. My name is Rasbach. In my crossing to this side I experienced no unpleasant sensations. I met many of my old friends and acquaintances and found a beautiful home. Our homes are made or patterned from our ideals. I am so happy to meet my wife here, and hope to be able to have prepared for her a beautiful home in perfect accord with her ideal of a home, and when she comes, I will meet her and assist her out of earth life, and it shall not be hard for her to cross. She shall pass easily to this side, and need to have no dread of death. Beatrice 1083. I am Beatrice. I have long been an inhabitant of the spirit world and have passed on to the work of higher spheres. I have been invited, and am glad to give a message touching my work now.